السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. Beloved brothers and elders and mothers and sisters who may be listening over the receivers, firstly, jazakumullah khairan to the masjid and those administering the affairs of the masjid for affording me this opportunity. Indeed, I am humbled, especially when I know the caliber of the two previous speakers and the two preceding Sundays in this beautiful month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, firstly, it's very promising to see that the tents of the i'tikaf have already been erected and some people have already taken up their residence in them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you as you are fulfilling a duty and a amanah and responsibility upon us as the greater community. I engaged the Imam Anis with regards to what was the dominant theme or intent or objective of having these particular Sunday programs. And Maulana mentioned to me, other than the Sunday programs, that one of the themes for the last few weeks or for the last month or so has been the idea around the Anbiya alayhi salam and how all of the Anbiya's of the Anbiya alayhi salam called towards Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that light, I thought we would be able to discuss some of the magnificent features of some of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophets, particularly with regard to their relevance to our lives and how we can appreciate many of the practices that we undertake, knowing now that the founding fathers, as the Anbiya were, the founding fathers of these practices were none other than the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So linking some of the practices that we undertake regularly to their very origin and inception and being able to appreciate them in that particular light. The verse that I commenced with is one of the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَرٍ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that barely in their stories, عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, are lessons for the people of understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make inshallah each and every one of us to be from amongst the people of understanding. In the month of Ramadan, when Quran is being recited and we are privy to listening to the recitation of Quran in Salatul Taraweeh, normally either before the Salatul Taraweeh or sometimes after the Salatul Taraweeh, there will be some brief discourse in terms of the subject matter that was covered that particular evening in Taraweeh. And there is much reflection and we come to the realization or we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning all of these Anbiya alayhi salam and snippets of their stories in Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the verse just before Surah Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the reason for sharing with us, or one of the reasons for sharing with us these particular stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That Allah says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ, and we relate to you, نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ from مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ, from the stories of the Anbiya, مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that this may become a means of truly cementing the iman that should exist in your heart. And may by virtue of us listening to a little bit and reminding ourselves of the revision, most of it that we have covered already in the snippets that we get on the synopsis for Salatul Taraweeh, either before or after, many of these concepts may have been covered, but in the revision of that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause an increase in our iman. When we speak of the idea of increase in iman, then sometimes the phrase, you know, when you speak about renewing the iman or reviving our iman, and the objection comes into the mind. The objection comes into the mind of, but I believe already, what is this you're telling me about renewing the iman? The companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in particular Abdullah ibn Rawaha radhiyallahu anhu, subhanAllah, in a discussion with one of the other companions, asked him the same question. That come, let's renew our iman. And this companion, like the objection may come in our mind, the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, what is going on with Abdullah ibn Rawaha? Is it not that we believe sufficient that he wants us to renew our iman? And Muhammad admired this particular statement of Abdullah ibn Rawaha. saying, and they're then elucidating the idea that when we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a means of growing that iman and that resolve in our hearts. So subhanAllah, it is this light that we renew our iman by looking at some of the aspects of some of the anbiya alayhim salam. That being said, then the first that we would focus on is the idea of Adam alayhi salam. And I'm sure that I'm actually embarrassed that I may have actually mentioned this particular anecdote previously in this masjid. With regards to Adam alayhi salam being the founder of every one of the different sciences or disciplines or fields of knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first use of Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a discussion that took place between Allah and the Malaika, a discussion that took place between Allah and Adam alayhi salam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this kind of showdown between the Malaika and Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرْضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرْضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then we presented Adam alayhi salam to the angels. Or we presented these things, ثُمَّ عَرْضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. We presented these things that we had taught Adam alayhi salam the names of to the Malaika and asked him a question. Why? The objection that the Malaika raised was, oh Allah, are you going to create a type of creation that would cause bloodshed on earth? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, because Allah knows best, wanted to show the Malaika that there was a reason for it. So when we speak about Adam alayhi salam being taught the names of all things, is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam, this is a fan, that is a night? No. And how do we understand this? When we speak of movement, distance, displacement, time, speed, all of us would agree, irrespective of what level of study or academia we have decided to engage in, all of us would agree that you may need to speak a little bit about Newton and the basic laws of Newton. And that governs any discussion in terms of movement, in distance, and displacement, and speed, and velocity, etc. So if we can understand this concept, subhanAllah, then it becomes very easy for us to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all these. So the basic building blocks and ingredients of every science and every discipline that is currently being discussed and written about and researched in this world and will be till the end of time, Adam alayhi salam knew that. What are some of the learnings that we take out from this? First, and the most important of them, that any field of knowledge, subhanAllah, can be linked to the transcendental, can be linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us to use the term secular knowledge, secular by nature means devoid of God, is actually a shortcoming in our part. Because everything we do should be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the great scholars, Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, mentioned that knowledge, based on this verse and this ayah of Quran, knowledge should be seen as that which is revealed, which is Quran, ahadith, fiqh. So that what we've done is the Islamic side, what the youngsters would learn in madrasa and what the ulama would go in further their studies in, these are regarded as the revealed sciences. And the rest are regarded as applied sciences. For if we have to take the conventional way of approaching knowledge and quantifying knowledge as, you know, Islamic knowledge and secular knowledge, that means we are taking everything in what is generally quantified as secular and we're making it devoid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that cannot be so. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran mentions many a times the natural phenomena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions plant life and animal life and the creation of thunder and mountains, etc., etc. So this is the first learning from this discussion, that all knowledge is sacred, subhanAllah, and all knowledge should be treated in that manner. Yes, there is added benefit and virtue to learning the knowledge of the revealed sciences, because this is pure or more pure than other knowledge and has less, you know, dirt that has been added into it. That is the one. The second is this idea of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught Adam alayhi salam the basic building blocks of everything. So everyone who is in pursuit of knowledge must realize that that knowledge that he or she is imbibing and gaining, and especially now for many of the young brothers and the young sisters who may be on holiday, they have this opportunity, as a side note, they have this opportunity for the one time in their studying career of observing i'tikaf that they never get again without missing any class.
subhanallah. So all the youngsters, and that's a side note I'm mentioning, all the youngsters should be encouraged to observe the i'tikaf, because the next time they would get the chance of observing the i'tikaf without missing a single day of schooling, arguably, is in another 18 years. And then they will be out of the schooling or educational system. So subhanAllah, encourage the young to take up this opportunity of searching out for the night of Laylatul Qadr. So this is one of the learnings that we got from the story of Adam alayhi salam. The next is a very important one, that when people speak of knowledge, then they speak of new discoveries. There's no new discovery, because anything is based on understanding those basic building blocks that we got from none other than the patriarch of humanity, our great grandfather, Adam alayhi salam. So this was a little bit about Adam alayhi salam. Then the next two would be for those of us who are working. And we would either be classified as being white collar workers. So you know the people who think. Allah forgive. The people who think, and sadly I tend to be borderline, you know, because I also spend some time thinking that you'll become, you know, they call themselves professionals. Essentially what has happened is you are a dignified slave because you work for someone else. So regarded as white collar workers. What are the learnings that we can take from the lives of the Anbiya with regards to white collar workers? So let's look at the stories of the different Anbiya, and we go to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks as Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories, subhanAllah, Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an idea of what should be the criteria that you mention on your CV. So Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to put himself forward to the king or the ruler of Egypt to say, you know, that I want to be the person who administers over the treasury. Then what did he say? Ij'alni ala khazainil ard. Make me the one who is the custodian of the treasures of the earth. And what did he say? What were the criteria that he put forward? Inni habibun alayhi. That verily I am from someone who is trustworthy, and I am from someone that's knowledgeable. So the criteria for those of us who happen to be in that space, in that work environment, based on the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, that Allah has kept in Quran, and it's not, you know, that sometimes a student of knowledge will come stand in front of you and share with you these verses, and you're thinking, okay, it's, you know, putting a power on. Remember the first two ayah, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي الْقَطْفَيْنِ حِبَمَةُ لِيُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In their stories, are lessons for the people of understanding. And the other one, that we share with you these stories so that it can make you firm in your resolve and in your belief. So subhanAllah, us earning halal risk and sustenance by virtue of working in different spaces, let us make this and have a greater sense of appreciation and connection with Allah, knowing that it is an ibadah. So now the white collar workers, what are the two criteria that you put forth on your CV? The first is that you must be trustworthy. And the second is that you must be competent. Let's look at it from the other side of the table, in terms of the employee-employee relationship. So if you happen to be someone who is going to solicit the services of some professional services, then subhanAllah, these are the two things you look for. Someone who is trustworthy, and someone who is competent and knowledgeable. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who are always trustworthy. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are resplendent with mentions of how a sign of a person's iman is the fact that subhanAllah they are trustworthy. And then some brothers, some elders, some of the mothers and sisters who may be listening, but what about, you know, the men folk in my home? They come home every day after a hard day of work, they toil really physically hard in terms of physical labor. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us insight in Al-Qasas. So Al-Qasas, another of the surah of Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Musa alayhi salam. And we know that Musa alayhi salam from the Anbiya was known as Kareemullah, the one who conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. So we spoke about Ahsan al-Qasas. Now we go to Al-Qasas. So they would translate Al-Qasas as the story. For me, Al-Qasas translates as the story. So when we look at Musa alayhi salam, we get once again the opportunity of learning three character traits of the person who in today's time would be 25 or 35 as a blue collar worker, someone who's in labor, an artisan, a tradesman, etc. So when Musa alayhi salam had watered the flocks of these two young ladies who did not water their flocks themselves out of haya and modesty because the rest of the shepherds were men. Then they returned to their father and they returned earlier than normal. And they then asked, but how come you've come earlier than normal and you claim you have watered the flocks? Then they mentioned that there was this one very astute gentleman, alhamdulillah, who was there and he asked us why we weren't watering flocks. And then he watered the flocks on our behalf. So what do these two young ladies tell their father? You know, on a side note, on a lighter note, inshallah, no one will throw anything at me. For those who are more senior, you most probably heard of the book. You know, in the past there was a book called Indecent Proposal. Now, subhanAllah, this is a story from Quran, which we are going to use to speak about the decent proposal. So these two young ladies went to the dad and they gave the explanation of how, you know, this man had watered the flock. So the one tells the father, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, Istajirhu wal qawiyyu amin, hire him. Why? Because of two qualities that we see in him, al qawi and al amin. As we found in the first one, Hafidun amin, that he was trustworthy, and here again, amin. Is trustworthy. So whether you happen to be a blue collar worker or a white collar worker, whether you happen to be involved in physical labor or professional skills, in both, subhanAllah, the hallmark of being trustworthy is an important lesson that we learn from the Anbiya. And what's the other criteria? Just for the person who's an artisan or a craftsman. You know, they say when you want to hire physical labor, if you go to the areas where normally, you know, casual labor is available, then you will find people and they come towards where it happens to be your pickup truck or your baki or they're out to need some assistance. Then how do you know who's going to be the person who's actually coming to get the job done? They say you ask them to roll up their sleeves, see the size of their forearms, to know whether they can actually work. So subhanAllah, if the ajirhu namil qawiyul amin, that hire him for two reasons. One is he's trustworthy, the other one is al qawi, that he's strong. So subhanAllah, another lesson for us. If we happen to be people who are tradesmen and craftsmen, etc., then a lesson that we learn from the Anbiya alayhi salam in the stories mentioned in Quran is that Allahu Akbar, we should be from those, if we are in these type of trades, we should be from people who are trustworthy, because that's the hallmark of a believer, and we should be from amongst those who are strong. Okay, I don't have it for us. Maybe I should change the area I'm working in. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain of the Anbiya in terms of the particular anomalies or the particular nuances that Allah has granted them in their particular society. So many of us, from amongst the craftsmen and the artisans, etc., at some point would be working with some sort of material, whether it be metal or whether it be wood, etc., etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us inspiration from Dawood alayhi salam with regards to those people who are metal workers. And maybe one day, inshallah, you may dua that Allah grant us the ability to write some sort of order, some sort of work that speaks about how we should govern the affairs of employees, especially in terms of bargaining councils and unions, etc., looking and really going deep into the story of the Anbiya, like Dawood alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ, and we made iron, we made metal or soft and malleable for Dawood alayhi salam. So for those people who happen to be, you know, panel beaters or people working with sheet metal or in the mild steel industry, etc., this is an additional learning that we can take and an inspiration that we can take and realize that subhanAllah, there is dignity in labor, number one, irrespective of how many cuts and bruises and grease you come home with at the end of the day. But there's dignity and there's honor in labor, and subhanAllah, you are fulfilling and walking the path of one of the Anbiya alayhi salam in that particular manner. Now, this is a little bit about how Dawood alayhi salam, what were some of the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed to accrue on the side of Dawood alayhi salam. But another thing that we learn from all the Anbiya, subhanAllah, is the idea of how Allah had made them the best of judges, to judge between people. And all of us, irrespective of what we are doing, you know, what stage we are, at some point we are called upon to judge in certain ends. If it doesn't happen to be between two people, then it happens to be in our own mind. We need to evaluate situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in Quran as well, when Dawud alayhi salam had to give judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses it, Ya Dawud, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Fahkum bayna an-nas bil haqq wa la tattabi' al hawa. So, O Dawud, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. In a similar manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Anbiya alayhi salam the vicegerents on earth, us as the disciples of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, have the amana and responsibility entrust upon ourselves to be Allah's vicegerents on earth, and we take example and lessons from these Anbiya. So, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard, fahkum bayna an-nas. When you have to judge between people, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Do so with truth. And do so remembering, as we often recite in Surah Al-Asr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to counsel وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ. Counsel towards that which is truth. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِئِ الْهَوَى. And don't be from amongst those who follow their desires. So subhanAllah, look at people in leadership and authority, whether it's in a local political setting, or in a provincial setting, or in a national setting, you know, they would say out of the masjid, not double face palms, but triple face palms, in terms of what's happening in our country at the moment. Wala tattabi'il hawa. Don't be from amongst those who follow their desires. So just understanding this one short phrase of Quran from the stories of Anbiya automatically solves all the problems that we have in terms of how leadership should be approached. You know, you don't need to write a paper and submit a research dissertation and get some political analyst to come and tell you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just all of it, subhanAllah, 45 in a very simple manner for us in the Quran. That was with regards to Dawud alayhi salam. Lastly, I want to speak about a very sensitive, sometimes, relationship that exists in terms of the interpersonal relationships we have, and this is the relationship between father and son. When you say that, you know, sons look the other way, fathers look down. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the relationship that existed between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam. Firstly, what were some of the du'as that Ibrahim alayhi salam made? When Ibrahim alayhi salam had settled this infant boy Ismail alayhi salam in Makkah, then what were some of the first du'as that came from his lips? رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Allah, make me مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, make me from the establishers of salah, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, and similarly for my progeny and my offspring. Let us ask ourselves in this beautiful month of Ramadan, when we come to the masjid as early as possible, especially now that the iftar is early, we're all rushing back from work. It's not like when Ramadan is in the summer months, you know, we manage to with ease get to the masjid half an hour or so before Salat al-Maghrib. No, subhanAllah, we're lucky if we make it just in time, or with 5 minutes to stay or 6 minutes to stay. And we know that because we have less time than we have when Ramadan is observed in the summer months, we really want to make the dua at the time of iftar comes. What are the du'as that we ask of on behalf of our children? Allah make them successful in this and this and this. But how many of us take from the stories of the Anbiya and from Ibrahim alayhi salam, where the first thing that he asked was, Allah make them from amongst the establishers of salah? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first verse of the 21st juz of Quran, وَتُلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ. That recite from the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon you, وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish salah, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ. Verily, salah is the repeller, is that wards off evil. So the du'as make Allah make it safe by children from, you know, drugs and alcohol abuse and substance abuse, etc. All encapsulated by taking from the du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you make the child to be someone and you ask Allah to make him and retrain him, other than the du'a, you assist with encouragement, with teaching, with learning, you know, with sometimes scolding and pushing, you encourage them to be from amongst those who establish salah. Then subhanAllah, the ulama mentioned to us with regards to this idea that salah would become the repeller of evil, when people would come to the spiritual elders and say, you know, it's a good brother, or a good, you know, son, or a good blood brother of mine, but he's involved in some of these things that Sharia was frowned upon. Then the spiritual elder would ask, then we observe salah conscientiously, they say, no, it's fine, they did it. You think, but like I came to the big Maulana, And you know, he's supposed to tell me, do this, do that. And he's telling me, you're leaving. Why? إِنَّ صَلَابَةً هَانِ الْفَحْشَارِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The salah will become the means of them leaving the evil. So as long as you have trained them to establish salah, those things will deceive you. Then you will ask the question, but then what about the career and, you know, them studying and then working towards a better life? If you have taught them how to make salah, then they have the secret ingredient. That's not such a big secret. They have the ingredient to be able to access from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything from the heavens and earth. Because they can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And this is the beauty, subhanAllah, of looking at the dua of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Oh, we mentioned a little bit about decent proposal. So let's learn another one of the dua from Musa alayhi salam. So we go back to Al-Qasas, the story. So when Musa alayhi salam found himself in this place, this young lady, you know, had went to her father and told the father that hire him, you know, he is a man who is strong in his trustworthy. What was the dua of Musa alayhi salam? And knowing about what was happening on the other side, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. And also another secret of how we make dua. So in the month of Ramadan, we know, especially as I mentioned, we have this very short time and we want to pray at him so much and then the time is over. Or in the time that the ulama speak of Isra'at al-Hijabah, you know, the time of acceptance on Yawm al-Jum'ah, being the last moments before the time of Maghrib, some ulama say it's the time between the first and the second khutbah Jum'ah. How much of dua do you manage to put in to such a short period of time? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Musa alayhi salam taught us that you ask, oh Allah, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. I want whatever little you decide is best for me as your poor servant. So that can all encompassing dua. As opposed to you have to enlist this, and you may most probably miss out either the most important one or the second most important one. But when you take the dua of Musa alayhi salam, subhanAllah, it's all encompassing and all covering. Lastly, maybe we should speak a little bit about Luqman alayhi salam and the advice of that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son. Oh, we haven't mentioned anything. We said we would speak about the relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. So that was the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. We focused a little bit on the dua of Musa alayhi salam. Now, what was the relationship? Okay. We, alhamdulillah, in a few days' time, Allah willing, Allah grant us the life, and inshallah, accept from us, we will have what is known as, you know, the day of the bride day. The eve of Eid and the day of Eid. And may the day of Eid be a day of celebrating and rejoicing, and the manner of celebrating and rejoicing for the servant of Allah is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like subhanAllah, if we think about how we have spent Eid, then the manner in which we have spent Eid previously is we observe Eid Salah, so, you know, Fajr Salah, Eid Salah, and then we go home and then there's this big feast and then it's just about, you know, eating and enjoying the whole day. Which one of us can say that on the day of Eid I sneaked away for a few minutes and I went to some quiet corner of the house and I observed a special Surah Salah? It's only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah that He gave me the opportunity of seeing another Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. That's what Allah wants. Allah doesn't desire that we go to the places that people will frequent on that particular day. No. Allah desires that we celebrate, that we celebrate the occasion of happiness. Allah doesn't say that you shouldn't eat on the day of Eid. Alhamdulillah, I should eat. But celebrate it to show Allah that I've acquired such a sweetness for your worship that I can't eat this most beautiful day, subhanAllah, going in a particular manner, that I don't take out some time, my own voluntary time that no one knows about, and dedicate it to the worship. Another point just on this day of Eid, that in the whole month of Ramadan, many a times, we work towards making sure that we are present for Salah, and that we actually get to hear the Iqamah. So we're there for the first takbir. We observe Salah and Jama'ah. Even for those of us who happen to be in the work environment, that while normally in our office block or wherever it is that we work in the office park, there may be a Musalla, and that's where we observe Salah to Duhar every day. But in the month of Ramadan, we go to extra thing. That doesn't do it for us. That we want to actually jump into the car and go to a masjid, you know, a place that's dedicated exclusively to Allah, to observe Salah to Duhar. And then what happens on the day of Eid? We become heroes. And many times we must see the law of Allah because of the manner in which things have been going. And we make the excuse in our mind saying, no, it's okay, today will be done. I've done next Salah. But the whole month, mashallah, you took great pains to observe Salah with Jama'ah in the masjid, etc. Doesn't mean you're limited to having to be in the area where you reside. Alhamdulillah, if you visit the answer, then there should be a masjid day too, and that's where we should be observing Salah. So coming back to the relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam is given this momentous task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him with a dream, and in this particular discussion, conversation taking place, this exchange taking place between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, slaughter your son. Now, you know, we do this every year. The second Eid, Eid al-Adha, we slaughter a ram. But have we actually thought of the depth of what is transpiring here? Yes, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala substitutes Ismail alayhi salam with a ram, and that's why we observe, Udhiyah, we observe Qurban, etc. But what actually happened? What was this conversation? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَ مُسْتَعِيًا Surah Safar. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَ مُسْتَعِيًا When Ismail al-Islam had reached the age, and the ulama would tell us, Sa'ya, right, he reached the age where he could accompany his father. You know, every man who has a son, subhanAllah, in those initial years, he wants to have the son with him all the time, and then he still wants to have the son with him for the rest of the life, so the son thinks that his friends are better, and that's where he wants to spend his time. So when Ismail al-Islam had reached the stage of where he could accompany his father in his goings and coming, then Ibrahim al-Islam had to know, tell him, you know, this is what's going to happen. Now you could adopt many approaches as a father. You could say, I'm the father, I'll do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do. But no. And why has Allah kept these ayah and preserved these ayah for us? Lessons for us. Qala ya bunayya. So Ibrahim alayhi salam decides, hold on, I need to engage this young boy. So he says, oh my beloved son. He didn't say boy. Ya bunayya. Oh my beloved son. Inni arafi manami anni asdafuka. Fadun mada. Mada ta. I see, inni arafi manami, I saw in a dream, anni asdafuka, that I am slaughtering you. What do you think of this? That is what Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling his son. So imagine some of us are fathers, but we've all been sons at some stage of our life. Your father came to you and told you, boy, I'm going to be slaughtering you in a few hours' time. SubhanAllah. But how did Ibrahim alayhi salam convey this information? You know, did he come there as an obsessive, compulsive, disciplinarian, autocratic father? Look, this is a command from Allah. He needs to be done. No. He spoke with shakka, with compassion, with love. And what did he say then? Sandhu ma'ava ta'a. What do you think with regards to this? SubhanAllah, these are the subtle beauties that exist for us to draw lessons from. So he consulted with the son. He knew he had to do it because it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why the need to consult? So Anamajarat, the need to consult existed because when there's mashwara and consultation, not only with our children, but also with our spouses, with other people, then you have already, from a perspective of leadership and management, theory, etc., when you have consulted, even though a person may not agree 100%, you have acquired a certain percentage of buy-in. Whether they agree or don't agree. They are more akin to the suggestion you are making, even though it may not yield any immediate benefit for them, or medium-term benefit, or long-term benefit. But they are more akin to the idea. And that's the lesson, subhanAllah, that we take out from this. Then, as elders and as parents and as fathers and as guardians and as caregivers and grandparents and uncles, sometimes you would say, you know, these youngsters, they got no respect. Especially at this age and time. And everyone said that someone said it about us too. And the people before us, someone said it about our parents. That continuously we see this moral or this decline in morality in society. Now subhanAllah, in the same conversation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us another beautiful thing. So, فَانْتُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى How does Ismail al-Salam reply to the father? We said that there were a few methods that Ibrahim al-Salam could have used. He could have said, this is the command of Allah, I'm doing it in the story. But he addressed the son with shakka and compassion. So when you have spoken to that youngster who you claim has no respect, etc., when you have spoken to him in a manner where he's going to, so like you see someone doing something that shouldn't be done in the masjid, you know, because mashallah, you always, the uncle and I'm saying this, looking at the TV, you always the uncle and the first couple, you know, you turn around and you just say a few harsh words and you think that you're establishing Allah's law on earth. This is not the man in which Muhammad advised people or reprimanded people. So, how many a times when we do this, particularly in the masjid, we change people away from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, sometimes you have to the northeast, the parents' responsibility, etc., etc., etc. But we need to think of the broader picture. This is one of Allah's servants in a time when the rest of his age cohort don't want to have any association with the masjid, he comes to the masjid. And maybe he throws the chair this way and that way, and he does this and does that. But subhanAllah, with love and compassion. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam addressed Ismail alayhi salam in this manner, O my beloved son, what is the child forced to do? But reply in a similar manner. Ya Abad, O my beloved father, if Almah took one, do as you have been commanded. Why? Because he was consulted. But the jinn, inshaAllah, when I spoke to him, inshaAllah, you will find me by Allah's will and Allah's mercy, you will find me to be from amongst those who have sabr. Whoa. Sabr means what I'm just going to say, meekly. No. That understanding of sabr is, sabr means for us to persevere and continue on those good actions we have been doing in our life, irrespective of how challenging it becomes, to still observe it. That's the one aspect of sabr. And the other aspect of sabr, sabr means to refrain from those practices that Sharia has frowned upon, that we've managed to refrain from because of public pressure or peer pressure or people seeing us, even at the time when it becomes easy to do that. This is the understanding of what sabr truly is. So we think sabr is, you know, when someone passes away, you put your arm around the shoulder and say, you know, brother, make sabr, and then you must stop crying. No. Sabr is much deeper than that. It's a sense of persevering on good, irrespective of how the circumstances change, and refraining from evil, no matter how fluid and easy it becomes to indulge in that particular evil. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant one and all of us, inshaAllah, this true sense of sabr. We've spoken about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and a little bit about how when we speak to people with softness and kindness, and you may argue that sometimes we speak to the youngsters with kindness, but they still remain the same way. SubhanAllah, think about Nuh alayhi salam. They can remain in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. For 1,000 years, except for 50. For 900, and for 3 years. Then he dedicated himself towards calling to the same people again, and again, and again, with the same message. So subhanAllah, I hope that these few ayat and reflections on some of the verses of Quran speaking about the Anbiya alayhi salam have been, inshallah, a reminder for us with regard to how we should be governing our lives. In conclusion, and maybe overstating my time in the workshop, this is a little bit of a lengthy passage that someone, subhanAllah, has composed with regard to being in the company of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So I'm going to share it with you. To have this bit Adam alayhi salam, I will give 60 cubits of gold again and again and over again, many times, many folds. To have met Idris alayhi salam, I'll give salt to cover the heavens, spread out straight through the trees and rivers, covering all seven. So some of these reflections were based on the verses of Quran that speak about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of each of these natural phenomena that we see, and the Anbiya alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran. To have met Nuh alayhi salam, I'll give the sea to the oceans, with their powerful waves and endless motion. They have just met Hud alayhi salam, I will give the grandest mansion and towers of the finest design, surrounded by gardens and dainty flowers. To have met Saleh alayhi salam, I will give jets, horses, cars and camels, the fastest, gorgeous, priceless, with seats and saddles that are enamored. To have met Ibrahim alayhi salam, I will give my intelligence, my sanity. For surely thereafter, I would lose to insanity. So why is there a mention also between certain aspects and certain Anbiya? Ibrahim alayhi salam in the 7 Juz of Quran argued and rationalized out with regards to the sun and then the moon and then the sun, and came to the conclusion that my father and the people of the community and what they are worshipping are definitely not worthy of worship. To have met Lut alayhi salam, I'll give salt, sugar and salt, cinnamon, cloves, saffron, so much to exceed all prices. To have just met Ismail alayhi salam, I will build masajid, truly grand, to cover every inch of the earth to the land. To have met Ishaq alayhi salam, I will sacrifice every lamb, goat, horse, elephant, cow, and even plant. To have met Yaqub alayhi salam, I will give my sight, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam. I will give my sight, for certainly thereafter I could see much more land. To have met Yusuf alayhi salam, I will give the sun, the moon, the stars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ahad Ashara Kawkaba wa Shamsa wa Al-Qamar wa Ra'aytuhum li Sajidin. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam and how in the dream he saw, you know, the stars and the sun and the moon prostrating to him. And along with them, the cycles of Nisan to other. So he just meant Ayyub alayhi salam, I would suffer the most terrible illness, waiting for Allah's salvation in endless quiet stillness. So he meant Shu'aib alayhi salam, I would give all to charity, from the smallest particles to the priciest priority. So he meant Harun alayhi salam, I would abandon speech, yet turn to Allah, and in silence Allah beseech. To have met Musa alayhi salam, or give the mountain. Moses went to the mountain. With dashing and heathers and sparkling fountains. To have met Dawud alayhi salam, I would give the elements, the natural elements, from the toughest diamond to the thinnest filament. Right? We spoke about sheet metal. To have met Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam had these conversations with some of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ants and the birds, etc., etc. I would give every bird, peacock, parrot, falcon, penguin, even if it was first. To have met Ilyas alayhi salam, I would preach the way of Allah night and day, so we could discard all frauds. To have met Al-Yasa, I would give the most exceptional art, so that I could then return with a pure heart. To have met Yunus alayhi salam, I would give every bird, Yunus alayhi salam was in the way, from the depths of the sea, worthy of queens and pearls. To have met Iftir alayhi salam, I would give the newer inventions, given to us by Allah, for none is from apprehension. To have met Zakariya alayhi salam, I would pass the entire year around, even if around me there were delicacies around. To have met Yunus alayhi salam, I would purify myself completely. But to have met Yahya alayhi salam, I would purify myself completely, so as to present myself purely and neatly. To have met Isa alayhi salam, I would suffer great persecution, so that by Allah's mercy I would not suffer evolution. And lastly, the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the beauty of the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Yet certainly for you in the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of examples for those who desire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who work towards the last day. They have just met Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will give the heavens and the earth and everything that lies between them. He marked the end of wahi and revelation and marked where the end did begin. To have met just one prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be this world's greatest blessing. They were the same message spread, the same belief prophecy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us with Anbiya alayhi salam, most importantly Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day when there will be no source of quenching our thirst but other than from the pond of Kawthar, from the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day when there will be no shade other than the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala submit us, inshallah, to be from amongst those people who can be in the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May our mothers and our sisters and our daughters and our nieces and our aunts and the women folk of our homes be with the likes of Khadija and Aisha and Maymuna and Sauda and Samira radiallahu anhum. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that inshallah we can be together in Jannah al-Firdaws, on couch of reclining, looking at each other with the size of accomplishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the 14 years of Quran. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب الأصحاب فأنا الله you are the one who loves to forgive. Allah you are the one who has clemency and mercy. فاعف عنا الله ويغفر لك فيما وجدت. This is the last few hours of the 19 days of the month of Ramadan that the Ahadith of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم speak about it. أوصفه مغفرة. The days in which this quality of you being all forgiving and most forgiving is more pronounced. Allah make us from amongst those whose sins of the past, whose sins of present, whose evil intentions of committing sin in the future are forgiven. Allah for the sins great and little. Allah for the sins we committed in the past, the ones we have looked in eternity. Allah for the sins we committed alone, for the sins we committed with others. Allah for the sins we committed during the hours of day, those we committed during the hours of night, those we committed in the brazen and foolish enough to commit arrogantly in public, and those that we committed in private thinking no one is watching us, so Allah, you are watching us. Allah forgive us our sins. Allah forgive us our sins. Allah, the impediment and the barrier between us and being able to draw from your unlimited pleasure is because of how we have been heedless
and how we have left consciousness and various with regards to you and your grandia and your shada. Allah forgive us our sins so that there will be no barrier between us. Allah has mercy for the sins of you as Musa alayhi salam. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Allah as Ibrahim alayhi salam bin du'a to you. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'ana wa Allahi asrifu to make us and our families to be from amongst the establishers of salat. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'ana wa Allahi asrifu to accept every one of the invocations and supplications that we make to you and we have made to you in the strength of our Ramadan. Allah, we know not how to ask and draw from your unlimited treasures, Allah, but you know what is best for us, and we ask of you to benefit us and Allah to grant us, Allah, all of that. Allah is not to make our life well. Muhammad Rasulullah, Allah is not to ask of you to grant us the Shafa'ah and the session of Muhammad. Allah, we ask of you for ease for all the situations that Muslims are facing everywhere in the world. Allah, when we find ourselves go back to the world, Allah, allow us to remember the statements of the Anbiya. Before we do Amri in Allah, where they will submit their matter over to you, Allah, allow us to entrust all of our matters. Allah, you, Allah, you deal in the manner that is best for us with all of the challenges that we face. Allah is merciful with each passing day. Let us grow in love and appreciation of the message that you have kept for us in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Let us grow in knowledge and understanding of our Quran Kareem. Allah, let it be that we desire to learn the language in which Quran was made. Allah, you have mentioned this Quran and Arabic and Ghaib of the image. This is the Quran that was revealed in this particular language so that there would be no crookedness in it. Allah, allow us to appreciate the beauty of Quran by virtue of being able to access it in the language in which you have revealed it. Allah is merciful. We ask of you to grant us everything that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we ask of you to grant us refuge in all of the stories that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and refuge in your heart. Allah accept this dua of ours and every other dua of ours like the dua of the Prophet of Bani Israel. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin.